Hello, my name is Paul Funk. Albert Terrazas and I are at the Southwestern Cotton Ginning Research Lab in Mesilla Park, New Mexico. Dr. Robert Hardin, now with Texas A&M University, was also at the U.S. Cotton Ginning Unit in Stoneville, Mississippi, when we worked together. We're going to be talking about saving energy in cotton gins. Energy costs represent about 20% of the total cost of post-harvest processing. That's a significant part of the cost of ginning. Dr. Tommy Valco's triennial survey found that electricity cost varied by a factor of 12 and fuel cost by a factor of nearly 40. Where there's an energy consumption difference between two facilities performing the same task, there's an opportunity for at least one of them to save money. Our energy audits and monitoring studies were conducted in over 30 commercial cotton gins across the U.S. Cotton Belt. We looked at both electrical energy and fuel energy used for drying and moisture restoration. We did this by both energy audits and energy monitoring. An energy audit looks at the whole system in a moment in time, like a picture. We placed each electric motor in one of five categories: pre-cleaning, ginning, lint cleaning, bale packaging, and materials handling. These same categories were used in studies published in 1962 and 1982. We ascribed consumption differences between facilities primarily to how they differed in design. Our monitoring studies were like a movie we could play in slow motion. We ascribed consumption changes in time primarily to changes in operation. This helped us to identify strategies that could save energy without expensive capital investment. Electricity represents a significant portion of the cost of ginning, so this was the first energy source that we focused on. It's not generally a good idea to open motor control centers while they are energized, so we wore lineman's gloves and arc shields when clamping our ammeter around the wires and recording motor currents for the audits. To monitor currents for several days or for a whole season, we used these transmitters. They sent amperage signals to a central data logger. Here's the results. The first thing I want to point out is that the connected horsepower in a cotton gin has increased by a factor of 4 since the first energy studies were published in the early 1960s. Gins have increased the amount of cleaning, added pollution abatement equipment, and steadily replaced labor with automation, increasing energy consumption into the 1980s. But then energy costs drove the industry to become more efficient, and economies of scale from gin consolidations also contributed to increased efficiencies. The end result is that we use less electricity today, despite there being more motors. Our audits showed us that material handling, primarily pneumatic conveying, was the largest user of electricity. To reduce the energy being gobbled up in the fan room, we need to focus on making these systems more efficient. Next, we need to focus on replacing air with mechanical conveying devices like augers and belts. We start by identifying and sealing leaks in the ductwork, leaks in covers, access panels, and vacuum dropper flashings. Leaks cost money and don't do a thing to help out. Next, we look at fans that handle clean air. If they're nearing the end of their service life, consider replacing them with higher efficiency models such as backwards inclined blade designs. Also look at the flow path. Can you reduce the number of elbows? Can you replace tight turns with long sweep elbows? Or can you shorten the run? Each of these improvements will contribute to a smaller electric bill. Turbulence near the fan itself costs a lot. It can be reduced by making sure the first elbow after the fan turns the air in the same direction that the air was turning as it left the fan. Other steps to take include minimizing the turbulence going into the fan by having a long sweep elbow and a straight section of airflow so the air can calm down before going into the fan. In a separate study, we found that radial évasés on cyclone discharges can reduce the pressure drop 8 to 12%. This modification is only permissible in jurisdictions that do not require vertical cyclone discharge. It can also reduce electricity use, improving environmental stewardship. Motors tend to burn out at an inconvenient time, always during the ginning season, and sometimes the right-sized motor isn't handy and a larger one is substituted in the rush to get the gin ginning again. So it's a good practice during the repair season to check and make sure that every motor is properly sized. Motors cost too much money to replace them all at the same time. But when a motor is reaching the end of its service life, ginners have an opportunity to order a high-efficiency replacement. Replacing pneumatic conveying with augers and conveyor belts results in a substantial reduction in energy use and eliminates the need to permit a dust emissions source. The capital cost of construction needs to be weighed against the savings in operating costs. Economies of scale that came about with gin consolidations and an industry-wide focus on making better use of electricity have steadily reduced consumption per bale processed. We're now saving about $10 million a year, and we've improved the sustainability of the cotton supply chain. Next, we'll look at fuel used in drying systems and moisture restoration systems. Cotton gins that are on natural gas have large meters. Cotton gins that use propane have big tanks. Cotton gin fuel consumption is not trivial. It represents about 6.5% to about 8.5% of the total cost of ginning. Price increases and fluctuating drying needs make this expense unpredictable. To protect gin profitability in the face of falling seed prices and decreasing seed-to-fiber ratios, we need to make the best possible use of our fuel dollars. The challenge we faced for this research is that gas meters are expensive, so we couldn't put one on every burner in every gin. Also, low-pressure gas flow is hard to measure inside of pipes, and we can't interrupt gas flow without shutting down the gin. So what we chose to do was measure the rise in air temperature through the burner, multiply that by the amount of airflow, and estimate fuel use using an assumed burner efficiency. Here's the equation in case you're interested. To measure airflow, we installed pitot tubes in the center line of each duct coming from a burner. You see a pitot tube being assembled in this photo. It required that we drill a small hole in the wall of the duct and attach a mounting flange. The differential pressure from the pitot tube was converted to a current signal by transmitters. Instead of running wires to a central data logger, as we had done in the energy monitoring study, we used miniature data loggers that were synchronized ahead of time. Next, we need to measure the amount of drying that a system was doing. We used process flow rate and change in moisture content to estimate how much of the drying system energy was actually evaporating water. To get the change in moisture content, we took seed cotton samples before and after each drying system. We put the samples in airtight containers and sent them back to our laboratory. In the lab, we weighed the samples before and after 5 hours of oven drying. The change in weight was assumed to be due to water. This is what told us the moisture content of each sample. The ratio of drying energy to fuel energy was what we defined as fuel use efficiency. We wanted to learn what control systems, dryer designs, and plant layouts made best use of fuel energy. It was not as easy as we thought it might be. Uncontrolled variables like crop condition and ambient air temperature and humidity masked the variables that we were more interested in. However, we saw clear trends in terms of drying system performance. Here you can see that as the incoming moisture content decreased, the moisture content after the first and second stage of drying decreased proportionately for both the A and B sides. In this drying system, air was skimmed from the first stage and used to convey material to a second stage. We observed that additional drying took place even though there wasn't a burner for the second stage. In this gin that had three stages of drying, we saw a little bit of drying taking place in the third stage, even though the burners were off. This was probably because of low humidity that day, late in the ginning season. In this gin, it looked like the first stage made better use of fuel energy than the second stage. My guess is that it gets harder to remove water as the seed cotton gets drier. We saw the same fuel use efficiency 2 years in a row. This gin had a long, uninsulated pipe from the burner to the cotton pickup, and it lost a lot of energy along the way. In this gin, with a shorter run that was well insulated, we saw more of the burner's energy reaching the drying system. From the analysis we've been able to run so far, we think that ambient air that is at a low humidity can dry seed cotton even without heat. There may be times when the incoming material is dry enough that the burner can be set to idle. We recommend using automatic burner controls. They can respond more quickly than human operators to changes in incoming moisture. They work best when the drying system temperature sensors are installed following ASABE standard 530.1, temperature sensor locations for seed cotton drying systems. Start by insulating the hottest pipe, the one between the burner and the mix point, and make that pipe as short as you can. We recognize that every gin is unique, and some things are higher priority, like operating without choking up while maintaining the highest possible fiber quality for your customers, and making good use of limited capital. So we recommend a careful analysis before implementing major changes. One thing that you can try to do is to encourage your customers to wait until their crop is dry before harvesting. This can save drying system fuel. Storing cotton so it doesn't get wet also reduces the energy required for drying. These are recommendations that don't add to the cost of ginning. This is Paul Funk with the USDA Agricultural Research Service. I'm located at the Southwestern Cotton Ginning Research Lab in Las Cruces, New Mexico. And I did the work with Dr. Robert Harden, who was located at the U.S. Cotton Ginning Research Unit in Stoneville, Mississippi. Thank you for listening.